Thank you, Jill.
Oh, he's about to be an uncle again any time this morning.
My sister is in the process of, yes, delivering her fifth child right now. Guys, thank you for leading us in worship. It was beautiful. Thank you, my darling. You did a great job. How's everybody this morning? It's good to be back. We're back from vacation. It was a good vacation. We had some time to just get aside as a family and make memories, and we were able to see my sister in Massachusetts and her family, so that was really good. I just want to dovetail off of what Jill was saying just a minute ago, and you probably see it in your bulletins as well if you have them there, and that's at the bottom there. It says, stay tuned. New beginnings are ahead. Stay tuned. New beginnings are ahead. And I just want to just to give you that little bit of teaser to let you know that God is clearly at work in so many fresh ways in this church, and we really look forward to sharing them with you in the weeks and the months that are ahead. God is doing something new. There are new beginnings on the horizon, and I'm excited, and we have no idea what it looks like and how it's going to work, but we just know that God is on the move right now, and that's okay with me. And because when he does something, he does it for the right reasons. And our responsibility then is to say, God, okay, this is what you're doing. I trust you with this. I trust you with this. So I'm excited. Our leadership team is excited to be able to share those things with you coming shortly. But here we are. We're in the middle of the heat of summer. My goodness, how hot is it outside? It is oppressive, isn't it? It's just like you go outside and you can't breathe. Summer is definitely a time where, if we allow it, I don't know about you, but our hearts can be redirected in a sense. You know, we this is a time of vacations. This is a time when people get away, and I don't know about you. I think we're all susceptible to it, but vacation can become an idol to us at times. You know, something that we long to have. Like, I have to have a vacation. I need my vacation, and it all becomes about escaping life. It becomes about looking forward to escaping the normal rhythm of life. But it's in the normal rhythm of life where we encounter the presence and the power of God and the purposes that we are in. So I know that we're all susceptible to it, but I just want to throw that out as just to be careful that our vacation time does not become an idol. And so what I want to do this for the next 6-7 weeks is, as we're here together in this hot summer and people are coming in and to and fro vacations, is we're going to focus on the great I am. And I apologize for that. How many people can read that? 6 people. No. Change it to white. I can't change it. I don't have that skill set. It says, I am how Jesus answers life's deepest longings. And so that's what we're going to be doing this summer. All eyes on Jesus this summer. All eyes on Jesus. It's imperative that we keep our eyes on him. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles and follow along, we're going to be in John chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at, and so for the series, we're going to be looking at the I am statements of Jesus. Jesus makes 7 of these massive claims where he says, I am, da-da-da-da-da-da. And we're going to look at what that means. Because I am, when Jesus refers to himself as I am, he is associating himself with Yahweh. He is not only associating himself with Yahweh and Jehovah, but he is saying, I am this person. I am. I identify as God in the flesh. And so when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush and he says, I am who I am, and tell them that the I am who sent you, this was the greatest moment in the history of the nation of Israel. And everyone would have known this. And here comes Jesus on the scene and he starts saying, I am brap. I am brap. I am brap, and people's ears and eyes are turning like, who is this man? And what does this mean for our lives? So here we go. We're going to read in John chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 25 through 35, and then I'm going to read verses 47 through 51. And so the context of this is that Jesus has just worked a miracle within the multitudes, and he just fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus had a limited supply of resources, and yet he manifests this incredible miracle, and he provides for his people. And he provides sustenance for his people, doesn't he? He provides loaves and fishes. He provides a meal. He provides nutrition for the physical body. He provides for the physical needs. But what we're going to see Jesus do now is he's going to take it and he's going to use that incredibly massive miracle, and he's going to turn it into a spiritual truth and into a spiritual lesson. something that they need to understand about who Jesus is. Yes, he can provide your physical needs, and he can provide your food, and he can fill your belly with all kinds of things. But what is truly Jesus in your life for? Why is he on this earth? And that's what we're going to discover together. And so starting on verse 25, so all those people, basically the context of this is all those people who we just fed yesterday are now searching for him. They got in their boats and they go across the river, the sea, and they're looking for Jesus. They want more of what this Jesus has to offer because he just did something amazing, and they realize that God is up to some. Jesus is up to something right now, and they're searching him and they're seeking for him. And so we pick it up in verse 25 in chapter 6. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here? How did you get here so fast?" Jesus answered him, "Truly I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Basically, you're searching for me because I satisfied your belly. I satisfied that hunger need you had. In verse 27, he says, "But do not work for food that is going to perish, but for food that is going to endure for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal." And then they said to him, "Well, what must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered him, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent me, whom he has sent." Believe in him whom he has sent. And so they said to him, "Well, then, what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers, they ate manna in the wilderness, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus says to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Let's move over to verse 47. "Truly, truly, I say to you," he's just gone into more discourse about how he came to do the Father's will. And in 47, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life." And I love how he brings it back to what the people were saying. He says, "Your fathers, yes, they ate manna in the wilderness. And guess what? They're all dead now. So the food that was given there did not sustain them, did it?" He said, "But this bread, the bread that I am, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that whoever may eat of it will not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for life of the world is my flesh." Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So we all know that there is this global focus and concentration on establishing healthy eating habits, right? Like we all, it's in front of us everywhere we go. There are people that sign up for the gym and eat healthy and take these protein shakes and mix it up, right? And we were just at my sister's house in Massachusetts, and my sister's a vegetarian, and she just eats like berries and nuts kind of thing, right? And my poor brother-in-law and my nephew have to be living in this house. And so we arrive and we're like, "Dude, we're just throwing steak on the grill," you know, and all this stuff. And it was quite a fun experience. But there is this truth that is widespread, that is worldwide, that it matters what you put into your body, doesn't it? It matters to the overall health of our bodies what we put into it. Over the past few weeks, being on vacation and needing to stay home for certain reasons or another, I've found that I've had to take responsibility for the grocery shopping in our house a few times in the last couple weeks, in the last couple months, right? And I've really begun to notice. Like, I've gone food shopping before, and I always take the kids with me, or not all the time, but I mostly take them with me, because I come back with the things that we like, right? The things that the kids like to eat, the things that are tasty. Now, we come back with fruits and vegetables, all right? And we're always thinking of mommy when it happens, and we're putting it in the cart, and we're like, "Guys, we should get this because it'll make mommy happy, right?" And they're like, yeah, we should do that. So we put a couple of things in there to make mommy happy, you know, that we came back with some healthy food. But I've really begun to see the disparity between the way we shop. Now, when my wife goes shopping, the refrigerator, right, and she went shopping yesterday, and the refrigerator is full from top to bottom with all this green stuff in my refrigerator. It's just green when you look at it. I mean, the situation is like this. She comes back and I'm like, babe, do we have dessert for today? And she says, yes, a bowl of strawberries. Like, that's the kind of stuff like we're talking about. A bowl of strawberries for dessert. Is that what's happening? But Liz, no, I want to honor you, babe, because I thank you for loving our family in such a way that you do. You care about what we put into our bodies, and we appreciate you for that. But it's true, isn't it? It matters what we put into our bodies for our overall health of our body. I was reading an article in the medical news today, and these were the top benefits that they said that come from establishing healthy eating habits. Number one is you have more energy. How many of us need more energy in our lives? My goodness. Improved memory. Man, as I get older and older, my memory is just like depleting. I need improved memory. It says that if you establish eating healthy habits, you'll have a better mood. That's encouraging, huh? You'll have a better mood. You won't be so agitated and frustrated. If you establish healthy eating habits, if you're careful with what you put inside of you, you'll have stronger bones and stronger teeth. Your heart will be strengthier. You'll have a healthy heart, and you'll be at a low risk for things like stroke and heart attack and things of that nature, right? So there's tons of benefits that come from eating healthy. I mean, clearly the people have done their research, and they've come back and they've discovered that the health of our bodies is in direct proportion to the nourishment that comes through the minerals and vitamins that we eat, correct? A matter of fact, the nutrition is essential for the vitality of our health and the longevity of our health and also the quality of our health. Now, these are things that I'm reading. I don't necessarily have it fully adopted them. That's why I have a beautiful wife in my household, and she makes sure these things because she cares about my physical health. But I think we can all agree right now is that if we feed on the right things, that to feed on the right things is to take care of the body that you've been given, right? To put the right things inside of you is to take care of the physical part of your lives. Now, what I want to ask you this morning, what about a spiritual part of our lives? There is so much focus and so much concentration in the world around us about putting healthy food in you for this physical body that is just temporary. So that throughout this time of your physical life, you have a long life, and it'll be a healthy life and good quality, and you'll be your vitality and all those things. But where are we getting the nutrition needed to keep us healthy on the inside? Where are we getting the nutrition to keep us healthy at the core of our very being? This life that we live is in this physical right here. It's temporary. It only lasts for but a moment, and yet there's so much time and energy spent on preserving this physical life. Now, I believe that we have to be stewards of these lives that God has given us. I believe everything about that is good and is true and right, but it cannot be to the neglect of our spiritual life. It cannot be to the detriment of our internal life, because that's what's going to last. Your spirit is now alive with an everlasting life. And that's what will last forever. These bodies are going to die off, and we're going to get these perfectly great new ones, and it's going to be incredible. And I know it's kind of hard to believe and wrap our heads around, but it's so amazing about the time that when Jesus said we're going to be glorified, and when we're glorified with Him, we're going to have these brand new bodies that are physical and that are yet spiritual, and I don't know fully how it works out. All I know is that if you want to look at what these new bodies look like, look at Jesus when He rose from the dead. I mean, people, He ate, right? I believe that we're still going to eat and enjoy food together. There's going to be a big feast in heaven. We're going to be consuming food together, breaking bread with one another. We're going to be able to touch one another. But we're also going to be spiritual. And there's a huge universe out there. And I don't know how we're going to get from place to place. But I know it's not going to be walking. You know, just let your mind go out there for a little bit. But this is the life that we've been called into. This is the new life that we have. This is what we've been given. And when I read through Scripture, and it is my understanding that if we neglect the health of our spirit, that is the most dangerous thing we can do with this new life in Christ Jesus. To neglect the overall health of our spirit is the most dangerous thing we can do with the life in Christ. Now, in this text that we just read, Jesus is teaching them a spiritual truth, one that is essential for the health of their spirit. Just the day before, he was feeding multitudes of people, these same people, and he was working this miracle, and he's using it to teach them this deeper truth. A deeper truth that, yes, that he is the one that can provide for your physical needs, and he speaks so much throughout Scripture about providing for a physical need, but Jesus said there's something more important here. There's something so essential. Yes, you need bread in your belly for tomorrow. Yes, you need it to. You need healthy food in your system to keep you vibrant and vital and to keep you alive and longevity of life. But man, your spirit is what matters. The health of your spirit, the core of your being, that's what needs nourishment in your life. And Jesus is saying when he says that I am the bread of life, I am the living bread, he's saying, I am the source, and I am the sustainer, and I am the one who brings nourishment to all things pertaining to life, including the physical, but also including the spiritual and the emotional and the mental. He is, like Jill was saying, to be our everything, our all in all, the one who has breathed life into our very beings. He is the source and sustainer of that life. You are eternal beings in this moment. And I don't want anyone to fall into the trap of thinking that eternal life is something that starts when we pass on from this life. No, eternal life began the moment that you surrendered your life to Him and you called upon Him as Lord and Savior. At that moment, the Spirit of God breathed life into you, new life, everlasting life, and you became a new creation. And that new creation needs nourishment. That new creation needs a source of life. It needs to be vital. It needs to be alive. It needs to be awakened. It needs to be nourished daily in order for it to function the way that God designed it to. And that nourishment comes from Jesus, who is the bread of life. He is the source of life, and therefore he is also the bread of life. He is the nourishment for that life. He is the one that was sent by God to sustain you and I in this everlasting life that we are standing in and living in. He is the great I am in the flesh. He is the bread of life. He is the living bread that comes down from heaven to give life to the world. That's what Jesus is. Those are Jesus' words. The bread that comes from heaven is he who has come here and to give life to the world. And what Jesus is saying is that just as bread is essential to sustain our physical lives, just as we need bread and we need food and we need the vitamins and nutrition and minerals of bread and fish like they had just the day before, he's using this as an illustration here, just as they need that to sustain our physical life, he's saying that he is the essential one for the health of our spiritual lives. And he says to them, do not go searching for food. Do not go searching for things that are going to perish. Do not work for the food that perishes, but work for the food that endures to eternal life. The food that I bring you. I am your bread, the bread of this life. Jesus is saying, I'm the one who sustains and nourishes the very life that I gave you. This is the life I gave you, he says. You need me to sustain it and to preserve it, and you need it to be nourished on a daily basis so that you can live in the way that I've designed it to be lived. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures through eternal life. In other words, do not pursue the things that satisfy only for a moment and then are gone. These fleeting desires that we have, do not pursue the things that are here for just a moment and then are gone like vacation. But pursue the things which endure to eternal life. I shouldn't have thrown that vacation thing in there. I don't mean that to be a knock. Vacation is essential to step away. And please do not take that as a wrong thing. But pursue that which endures to eternal life. That's the key thing. our pursuit in life are to be after the things that are going to last when this life is over and continue on for eternity. We should be seeking those things, searching those things, applying ourselves to those things here and now. And so what Jesus is saying is that our souls are designed to be nourished with eternal things. And it comes through Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Pursue the bread of life, the one who gives nourishment for this eternal life. He is the sustainer of all life, and therefore, it is Jesus who is to be our consumption. We consume a lot of things in our lives. We consume a lot of things in our lives. What Jesus is saying to all of us right now as his church, he is to be our consumption. We are to feed on him and to search after the food that lasts for eternity, that will endure past this life that we have right here. He is the God of everything you need pertaining to life, physical, spiritual, emotional, mental. And so when Jesus was telling his followers here and the people who were searching that he was the bread of life, he was giving them the solution to everything they need. They were searching for more of this bread. Like, God, I want to see another miracle. I want to see you feed 5,000 people again. My belly's hungry. I don't have to go to work for food. You're just going to make it appear for me. And so droves and multitudes of people are following him across the sea, and they find them, and Jesus says, you're seeking me not for the things of eternal things. You're seeking me for the things that are just going to last and satisfy you here in the moment. But what about working towards the things that are going to last for eternity? What about applying your life to the things that are of true life? Things that are going to endure past this moment. I bring satisfaction to those things. The things that last for eternity. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He's given them the solution here. But not just for their physical needs. He's given them the solution for their emotional and their mental and their spiritual needs, right? The things on the inside, the core of our being. You see, the audience was craving a good meal. They were craving for their belly to be full. What are you craving this morning? What do you long for this morning? What do you have a strong desire for? Maybe your stomach is grumbling like mine is, and you're craving for a good meal after, a good hoagie after church. And so after service, you'll go out and you'll satisfy your craving with food that's going to perish, which we all have to do, and it's tasty, and we enjoy it, and it's part of life, and we need it to sustain this life that God has called us to. But do you crave the bread of life? Do you crave food that will last and endure forever? Do you crave to have the things of God in your life? Do you long to fulfill your God-given calling in life? Do you crave to be used by God? Do you long for your prayer life to be rich and vibrant? Do you long to receive revelation from God that will completely turn around the circumstances of your life? You see, the goal is to get to the point where we long for only the things of God. And we begin to see the things of this world as just things that are going to perish. Things that are of no value to the important things in life. That have no value to my everlasting life. That they don't nourish and feed and edify the soul that has been breathed into by the great I am. Only the great I am can sustain this spirit. Only the great I am can bring the nourishment that I need in my spirit. And so the goal is to get to the point where we long only for the things of God, recognizing that the solution to every problem and the satisfaction of every deep longing within our soul is found in Jesus Christ. You see, church, when we try to live apart from God, and when we try to live in this everlasting life without receiving nourishment of the bread of life, something happens. the needs and the cares of this world quickly take control of our lives to the point where they become obsession. And they become these mental targets of ours that we just cannot let go. And at times they'll turn into unhealthy habits. And when those unhealthy habits happen, a lot of times they spiral out of control. I think we're all familiar with this type of stuff. And it's usually a sign of a deeper problem. There's something deeper going on the inside. Maybe a feeling of loneliness or rejection. Maybe there's a feeling of depression and anxiety. Or maybe there's anger. Maybe there's fear. Maybe there's just the fear of loss of control. All these things, they get up and they become unhealthy habits. And when we're not feeding on the nourishment of the bread of life, these things that are meant to be taken care of by the one who is the source of life, they become these obsessions of ours where we have to just going after them in the wrong ways. Jesus is saying, I came to this earth to be your bread, your nourishment, to be your everything that you need to sustain and preserve the everlasting life that he has breathed into you. He is the source and the nourishment of our spirit. Let me ask you, what is the deepest need that you have this morning? What is your deepest need this morning? You may have a physical need this morning. You may literally need bread on the table. And if that's the case, please come and see me after the service, and we'll make sure that there's food on your table by the end of the day. But what is your deepest internal need this morning? That's what I'm getting at this morning. What is your deepest internal need this morning? What is the greatest spiritual need that you have? What is the greatest mental need you have? Emotional need you have today? If you were to step back and look, if you were able to step out of your life and look at your spirit, what would your spirit look like today? What shape would it be in? What is it? Dark? Is it full of joy and peace? Is it fearful? Is your spirit mournful? If you looked at your life today and you gave an honest assessment, would you say that it's in a healthy state? And I'm not referring to the things that are going to perish. I'm not talking about, yeah, I've got a house and a car and food on the table. I'm talking about your eternal life. If you're able to step back and look at your eternal life, would you say that you're in a good, healthy state, that your soul, your spirit, your internal core is in a healthy place? Things that are going to last for eternity. Church, I'm telling you, it's impossible for us to live as redeemed people without receiving daily nourishment from the bread of life. I watch so many people try to do it without receiving the bread of life. They want all the benefits of eternal life and everlasting life. They want to live forever, but are they willing to go to the bread of life to receive the nourishment that they need in their spirit? Are you willing to take the time every day to go to the bread of life and feed on the bread of life, to be nourished from the inside out? I watch so many people try, and I just can't wrap my head around it, and they struggle so hard, and they're wondering why. It's because they're spiritually starving, and they don't even realize it. They're spiritually starving, and they don't even realize it. This new creation lives that we have are lives that are designed to be nourished and fed every day, just like the physical life. And we are to feed on the one who is the bread of life. And what ends up happening, that without a steady diet of the bread of life, what we'll end up doing is we will walk around this life spiritually malnourished, spiritually anemic. Now, I'm not saying this as a judgment. I'm saying it out of conviction in my own heart. But the good news, church, is that there is a fresh supply of heaven's nourishment available every single day to you. There is a fresh supply of heaven's nourishment available every day. And the best way to get this nourishment is to make time in your day to encounter your God in a deep and meaningful way. That's it. The best way to get this fresh nourishment that your spirit needs is to make time in your day to encounter your God in a deep and meaningful way. Whether that's spending personal quality time in His presence, listening and talking with Him, sharing your highs and the lows of your day with Him, seeking His guidance and His wisdom in life. Like your need for food and water, Jesus is your bread of life, who wants to be your daily, who needs to be. He's essential for your daily nourishment and growth. And you need it. You need it. I need it. We all need it. He is essential for our daily nourishment and growth. Elizabeth, could I ask you to come up to the and play this thing? Thank you, my darling. I'd like to close this morning singing, "Lord, I give you my heart." If you could just play that, that would be great. As we just bring this morning to a close, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers, they ate manna in the wilderness, and they're all dead now. I laugh every time I read that. But he's making a point, isn't he? Your fathers, they ate manna. Yes, there was provision in the desert. And God provided manna and nutrition for their bodies, but did that last? Oh, they're dead. What matters is your spirit. What matters is what's going on the inside. What matters is what this spirit looks like. I find it very interesting, you know, in the Old Testament, in Exodus, when God provided the manna in Exodus 16, we see something really unique take place. Moses kind of lays out the way that they're supposed to go and get the manna. God lays it out, and this is the way they're supposed to go, is that fresh manna was provided to them every single morning, and they were commanded by God not to store it up for themselves, right? That's amazing to think about. That they were not allowed to go out, and they were meant to go out first thing in the day. First thing before they did anything else, send your people out and go over to where I have laid the manna and go and store it up and collect it and bring it back for the nourishment of the nation. And they weren't allowed to store it up. They weren't allowed to gather it up. And I find that very amazing. I find that what God is saying, in my own words, I kind of tried to put it in my own words. And God, what are you trying to say? Why was no one allowed to store it up for tomorrow? And I believe that God was saying that you can't put leftovers in a Tupperware container and have it again tomorrow. Because then you wouldn't have to come and search for me and discover me as the faithful one. Because then you wouldn't have to come to me and search for me and seek me and then discover who I am as the faithful one in your life. Can I ask you to stand, please, with me? Like I said, I want to end on just this song. And you know, church is one of those, coming together and gathering together on Sunday mornings is one of those opportunities where we can get nourished, isn't it? But this coming together on Sunday mornings cannot be your only source of nourishment. It absolutely cannot be. This is an essential part. This is an essential part. But it cannot be everything. Each of us needs a fresh supply of the bread of life every day of our lives. And the good news again this morning is that fresh bread is made available to you every day. But each and every one of us has to slow down in our busy lives and take time to go out and search for Him who is the bread of life. Thanks, Liz.